All right, let's pray. We bless your name, Most High, Yah, as we present ourselves to you. We acknowledge you as our Most High, Yah, and we just glorify you, and we look forward to just your continued blessing and your presence in our lives, and we just glorify you for all that you do. We just seek for wisdom and understanding on tonight as we present ourselves to you. And we bless you in the name of Yahushua, we pray. Amen. All right. We're going to be coming. We're going to move around a little bit on tonight. There are some things that I want to show based upon the scriptures. We've dealt with some things on this before, especially when we were talking about when we started dealing with the flat earth, to know without a doubt that the earth is flat, and we looked at some things from that. So I think we'll go to Genesis chapter 1 first, just kind of lay a foundation, and then we'll move further into the lesson on tonight. Genesis 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning, Yah created the heaven and the earth." We're going to concentrate on the word earth. We dealt with some things from the perspective of the heavens, you know, or the heaven. We dealt with some things as far as the heaven is concerned, especially when we dealt with the firmament and visible, which is the visible arc of the sky and things like that. And so as we look at this from perspective of verse 1, and we see earth, we'll understand that it is called dry ground, land, especially when you go down to verse 10. Verse 1 says, "Again, in the beginning, Yah created the heaven and the earth." Verse 10 said, "And Yah called the dry," it has land italicized, but when you look at it in its original writing, the word dry means, the Hebrew meaning of the word dry means ground or dry land. And so that's why it has land there italicized to bring some form of understanding of it. And so, again, verse 10 says, "Yah called the dry land." That's why it has it italicized. When you see, you know, if you got a really good Bible to show words italicized, that means that it's not originally there. But the dry, again, dry ground or dry land, that's why it's there. The word dry is interpreted dry ground or dry land. So, and Yah called the dry land earth. So, when you look up, go back up to verse 1, we know that in the beginning, Yah created the heaven and dry ground. Okay, He created the heaven and the earth. The earth is identified as dry ground. Now, as we move to Genesis 10, because we're going to come back to chapter 2 once we take a look at some things not Genesis 10, Genesis 11. Okay. Now, Genesis 11, now from perspective as far as the word earth is concerned, earth is classified as what? What is earth classified as? Make sure you say it where everybody can hear you.
Dry ground.
Okay, so now we get in Genesis chapter 1. We keep that same concept, and we'll start to see a truth that's associated with the earth itself. Again, Genesis 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning, Yah created the heaven and the earth." Genesis 1 verse 10 says, "And He called the the dry ground earth, the dry land earth, okay? Now, when we get in Genesis chapter 11, and we look at verse 1, it says the whole, verse 1 says, and the whole, Genesis 11, verse 1, it says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech, okay? The whole earth, the whole dry ground, okay? The whole dry ground was of one language and one speech. And as you see, it had one language and one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. We know that's Iraq today, or at least the Iraq territory. Today, and they dwelt there. Well, we've already dealt with that. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on this. So, when you look at Genesis 1, verse 1, it talks about earth. We know that it's dry ground. Genesis 1, verse 10, it talks about earth. And it makes it clear that the dry ground on the dry land is called earth. So, every time we read earth, it should register with us that it's talking about dry ground, dry land, okay? Now, as we move now to I'm going to go to First Chronicles first. I'm just trying to see the order by which I want to do this. We'll go to First Chronicles, and then we'll go back to Genesis. We'll look at First Chronicles chapter 1, and I believe it's verse 19. Yeah, verse 19. We'll go to verse 17. Okay, we'll go to verse 17. And I want y'all to see a pattern as we deal with verse 17, 18. We'll stop at verse 19. First Chronicles chapter 1, verse 17 says, the son of Shem, so we know this is dealing with our nation, or at least to reveal where our nation is coming from. Okay. Now, and we're not going to deal with a whole lot of that because there's a specific understanding that Yah wants to have. Verse 17 says, the sons of Shem, Elam, Asher, okay, Elam, Asher, and Arphaxad, Lud, Aram, Uz, Yul, and Gether, and Meshach, and Arphaxad begat Shelah, and Shelah begat Eber. And unto Eber were born two sons, the name of the one was Peleg, because in his days the earth was divided. Y'all see this? In his days, the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Jotham. Okay. Now as we start to see this here, we'll look at the word. We'll go back to verse 19 because, again, we're dealing with this earth again. Verse 19 said, unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, because the days of the earth, now we're dealing with earth again, so that's dry ground, was divided. Now, you look at the word divided, it means split, to split. It means to split. Then it says that his brother's name was Joktan. Now, As we look at these passages, as we look at these passages, it also confirmed this in Genesis 10, and then we'll look at verse 20, and then we'll get into the discussion. Genesis 10, verse 22, Chronicles talk about it. Now we go to Genesis chapter 10, and we'll see the same thing taking place here. Genesis 10, verse 22 says, "His children of Shem," here we go again, "Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, and Lud, and Aram, the children of Aram, Uz, and Hu, and Gether, and Mash," give me a little bit more, I believe, "and Arphaxad begat Selah," which is Selah, in Chronicles, it's just different spelling, "and Selah begat Eber, begat Eber, and Eber and un and un oh shoot, computer started this one. Let me get back to my place. Verse 25 said, "Unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg," same thing again, "for in his days the earth was divided." Was divided, okay? Or again, to split. The earth was split. And his brother's name was Joktan. Okay? Now, as we look at this here, we'll see, especially from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, Genesis 1, verse 10, where it's dealing with the earth, dry ground. You remember how the Bible says, and I'm going to go back. Now, remember 1 Chronicles 1 and 19, because it's saying the same thing based in Genesis 10, verse 25, where it says the earth was divided. When you go look at Genesis chapter 1 again, if you look at Genesis chapter 1, we're going to go to verse 1, and I want you to see a truth. Genesis 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth," dry ground, okay? "And the dry ground," so I'm going to say dry ground, "and the dry ground was without form and void, and darkness was up on the face of the deep." So it lets us know, you know, we've dealt with it, how you only have God created, he's creating things. You're seeing just the deep, and he's separating things. And verse 2 says, "Darkness is upon the face of the deep, and the spirit of Yah moved upon the face of the waters." So it lets you know that the deep and the waters is one and the same. Yah said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Yah saw that light was good, and Yah divided. So you're looking at that. You're looking at the word divided here, and it means to separate, okay? It means to separate, to divide. It means to separate. And notice I'm gonna go back just a minute.
Is it always physical?
Huh?
Is it always physical? The division?
I don't know how to answer that right now.
Okay.
From perspective of is it physical? So as you look at it here, in verse 3, the word divided here, although it says divided, it has a different meaning than the word divided in Genesis 10, and also in 1 Chronicles chapter 1. Both words are used as divided, but there's a different Hebrew meaning for the word divided here. Verse 4 again, Genesis 1 verse 4, that Yah saw the light, that it was good. Yah divided the light from the darkness, and called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Even in the morning was the first day. And even in the morning was the first day. Verse 6 says, and Yah said, let there be a firmament. We know that he is visible arts of the sky. In the midst of the waters, and he divided the water, waters from the waters. And Yah made the firmament and divided. You see, in the same word divided in Genesis chapter 1, it means exactly the same, which is, as when you look at the definition, it means to divide, obviously, to separate, to sever, okay, to sever the water which was under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. We've dealt with all that. We know that there's water above the visible arch of the sky that you can see. That's why, you know, we pull out that no one has ever gone to space and all that. There's no such thing as NASA, going out into the moon, and all that's a lie. Okay, we pointed all that out before. Matter of fact, I don't know if y'all remember a few years ago when one of those things had exploded and supposedly killed these astronauts. One of them was a school teacher and all that. Well, you can go research those people and you'll find out those people are still alive. Some of them haven't even changed their name. Look the same. They still look the same, just older. To let you know that what we saw that day was an explosion, but it was nobody on it. It was nobody inside of that thing. Those people are still living. Matter of fact, I think the woman who was a school teacher at the time, I think she's a college professor now. Still the same name. And so just go with that kind of stuff, and you'll see it, the lies that they do. They just don't, they just never have existed. They never expected for the knowledge to increase, to the point where information is being made available.
Beyond their control.
Yeah, they never. And I'm glad you said that. They were not expecting for knowledge to increase beyond their control. So they put the information out there, but they was like, they'll never know. You'd be surprised how much information has to be after a period of time made public, but they just never expected the internet to cause the information highway, so to speak, to be so broad that you can pretty much find out anything nowadays. And so if you think I'm kidding, just go and look up, just kind of Google the astronauts who were killed during that time frame. I can't remember what year it was. Just the information just came up, and I just started discussing it.
In the 80s.
It was in the 80s? Yeah, just Google the crash. You said, wasn't it? Okay.
Like
yeah, it was somewhere up in there. So Google it. Google when the show crashed or exploded in midair, and get all the names of the astronauts, and then go Google them or go on YouTube or whatever, and start typing in things like astronauts still alive and stuff like that. They'll show you the pictures of the people. The names are still the same. Some of them changed their names. Some of them kept it the same. Same people, because it's all a lie. Now things are a lie, okay? And so, again, that information is available, so they never expected it to be that way. Now, verse 6 says, and Yah said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and he divided it. He divided the same meaning of the word divide, divided the waters from the water. You have something?
It happened in 1986.
Okay, 1986. So Google that show, information about the Shell explosion, 1986. Get all the names of the people, then you go on YouTube and type in the information about that show, and they'll start pulling up names showing that those people are still alive today. Every last one of them. I think maybe one or two of them may have died now, but those people are still living today. So they just never expected for, again, the information highway to be open like it is to know the truth. And I don't want to get stuck on that flat earth understanding that we have, but have you ever wondered, if my thing is this: if I know something to be the truth and people are calling me a liar, then I'm going to do whatever I can to reveal all the information that I have to show I'm not lying. But they still show this same little old moon, earth picture that they've been showing forever. And people have dissected that thing and showed that it's Photoshop, and that they're not looking at an actual earth, but they're looking at a Photoshop that's so bad that they even got the same cloud scattered all over that round thing that they call Earth. That's just how bad it is. You can see the same shapes of the same cloud that they just copied and paste, cut and paste, and just put it all over that little thing that they drew and called it brown Earth. Because they don't want us to know the truth. Because if they acknowledge that there is a flat Earth, then they have to acknowledge that Genesis 1 is the truth. Genesis chapter 1 is the truth. They have the knowledge that God does exist. That's the issue. That's why I'm kept so quiet. Okay. What would happen to people if they knew that there was actually a real Most High instead of a figure of people's imagination? What if people were able to go look at the ends of the earth, so to speak, by going to that Antarctica and all those things, to be able to look and see what these people know? A lot of people would be getting on their knees. I found it interesting that that this guy interviewed a bunch of astronauts, and not one of them, I think it was Bible, not one of them would put their hand on the Bible and swear that the information that they were saying was the truth. So I'll tell you something. They had some kind of encounter to know that I can't be saying this is the truth, put my hand on something that's sacred as the Bible, because you know, and being in that field and in that position, you know it's a lie. You know you're not going to the moon. You know all these things are not happening, so you're in on that lie. And because of that, none of them would swear by the Bible. So it was just interesting to see that. But again, verse 8 said, Yah called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning was the second day. And Yah said, let the waters under heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry, we know that's dry from Genesis 1, verse 1 and verse 10, and we'll see that verse 10. He said, let the waters under heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And Yah called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seed. And Yah saw that it was good. Verse 11, I don't think I'm going to spend much time on it. Verse 11 said, Yah said, let the earth dry ground bring forth grass. So I'm going to stop right there. When you look at Genesis 1, verse 1 all the way up to verse 10, you look at First Chronicles, again, you're seeing things being divided in Genesis 1, Genesis chapter 1 between verse 1 and verse 10. You're seeing things divided, but it has a different meaning, how can I put it? It has a different perspective. And there are words that I'm going to pull out to show, because when you look at divided, and you read some passages, and it'll say he separated, you see separated, and then you read the other one, and it says split, you'd be like, okay, that's kind of the same thing going on here. But when you look at this word in chapter 1, it also means distinguish. In other words, it lets you know that he separated it, but he separated it so that you can distinguish the seeds from the land. You can distinguish the seeds from the land. So when you look at this divide, it has a different perspective than what took place in Genesis chapter 11 and Genesis chapter 10 verse 25 and First Chronicles chapter 1 verse 19. Okay, and we'll look at it now again, and we'll get in the middle of it. Verse 10, It says, and Yah called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the water called he seed. So when you look at the earth and the sea, we have one whole landmass. Okay. We have one whole landmass, and we have one whole sea mass. The earth, when you look at the earth in its original creation, so the best way to explain it now is, I mean, do y'all know as far as maps are concerned or how they describe things? They normally say, what is it, three continents? Seven continents? Well, I kind of got ahead of myself. When they said seven continents. Well, when you look at how things are happening as far as the scriptures are concerned, the Bible reveals that he did it in three. It reveals that he did it in three. And there were things that happened to cause these continents to be the way that they are. When Yah originally created it, it was one landmass. That's why when you go to Genesis chapter 11, you're looking at verse 1, it said, and the whole earth, the whole dry ground was of one language. In other words, everybody was communicating. And the dry ground was not just from a perspective of being classified as from the perspective of the whole dry ground, it was of one language because people had access to one another from that one, for lack of a better way to put it, from that one continent. Go ahead.
Science calls it Pangea.
Pangea?
Yeah.
Okay, explain.
So, according to science, that's neither here nor there.
Right.
You know, the way all the continents fit together, they're like puzzle pieces that at one point fit together in one big continent that they call Pangea.
Okay. I'm glad that you say that because y'all remember that scientists call it again Pangea. So they call that one whole landmass Pangea. Okay. Remember that. Scientists call that one whole landmass Pangea. And everything that we understand, and that's why I like the way Adam put it, because it points out that science is always trying to discredit the Bible for one fact or another. I'm going to tell you what the Bible calls it. But as we look at this here, Genesis 11, verse 1 shows that the whole earth was one landmass, or as scientists say, Pangea. One whole land mass, and so you had one whole sea mass. You had one whole land mass, you had one whole sea mass. Okay, I don't know if the sea was... Yeah, one whole body of water. And so when you look at how things are now, you know, you have these different seas, but according to the Bible, it was one, it called it seas, but it was as the scripture, he divided the land, one whole land mass, Pangea, and he divided the waters from the land, and he called them seas. So you have a structure of water and you have a structure of land. Now, when you look at Genesis 10 again now, Genesis 10 starts to give the generations of the sons of Noah. So chapter 11 gives the detail. It's kind of like saying, these are the generations. I'm going to tell you about all the children, all the people that exist on the planet, and then chapter 11, I'm going to tell you how something happened. Okay? Now, when you look at Genesis 10, we go down to verse 25 now. Again, Genesis 10, verse 25 says, and unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, For in the days were the earth divided, and the brother's name was Joseph. With the scriptures letting us know that when Peleg's day is when Genesis 11 manifested. Because as you look at the earth now being divided, when you look at the earth being divided, I want to go back and look at verse 1 again. And look at divided. I can't remember how that word was pronounced. And I want to show you, and then we'll get in the detail of this. And the Hebrew of the word divided in Genesis chapter 1 is badal. The Hebrew word is badal. It means to distinguish, to differ. It also shows divide because it was divided. But when you look at Genesis chapter 10, it's a different type of divide. It may be the same thing, but it shows that there's something going on that's different from what God did that was classified as good. Okay? It showed you that there was some things going on to force mankind to obey the will of Yah. Like he said in Genesis 1, replenish and multiply. Okay? Now, Genesis 10 verse 25 says that and Eber was born, and unto Eber was born two sons. Remember the other word for divide is Bedal. And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg. For in the days was the dry ground divided. This is Peleg. Okay? Peleg. It means to split. So it lets us know that Yah divided the sea from the land, but when that event happened that made Yah say, I'm going to split the land. It was one man, but something happened in Peleg's day that made Yah say, I'm going to split this land. Whereas now we look at the continents today and we see them for what they are, and I've even heard, I don't know how true it is, but I've even heard some people say that some maps that you look at, they're not really accurate. They say they try to hide things and they show separations in certain lands that's really not there. But then, you know, like Adam, neither here nor there, we don't know this for sure, you know. Just not enough information out there to know for sure because certain people are hiding information. And so when you look at this in verse 25, read it again, then we're going to jump into chapter 11, then I'm going to show you what this landmass was. Now, verse 25 says, again, I know I'm saying read it a bunch, but I have to, and unto Eber were born two sons, the name of one was Peleg, for in his day. Okay, for in his days, during the day of Peleg, when he was born, for in his days was the earth dry ground divided. It was split. And his brother's name was Joktan. Okay, now from that understanding, we move to chapter 11, and we see what caused the earth to be split. Then we're going to go back to Genesis 10, and I want to show you what I had said earlier. Genesis 11, verse 1 says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. We've dealt with this before. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. You know the story. They go and make bread. I don't want to read all this because we know. They go and they make brick. They start to build a tower of Babel. Okay, they start building the tower of Babel. Verse 4 says, and they said, "Go to, let us build up a city and a tower. Build a city and a tower." They didn't just build a tower, but they built a city too. There's been a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Now, we've discussed their mindset because they understand the visible art of the sky. That's why they're saying this. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad. Yes, go ahead.
I can comment.
Go ahead.
Just even based on here recently, just understanding it makes more sense, like they had more understanding than we did.
Yes.
And all this time, I was like, okay, me personally, I was like, okay, it don't make sense for them to be doing that. Now you got skyscrapers and stuff, but now that I understand what I understand, they were literally trying to build it up. See, y'all, that's why y'all said, let us go down and stop it. Whatever they put their heart to, they'll be able to do.
Look at the technology man has today. And I would even go as far as saying they were wiser back then than we are now. When you see pyramids and all that, mankind is dumbfounded how they did it. They still trying to figure out how they put those big stones together like that in the time frame that they were in. So they had a mind. You're dealing with a people that you're dealing with a fallen man that is not far from the mind of the Most High. You're looking at, I have to say it like this, you're looking at sons of Adam that's not too many generations removed from being directly connected to the Most High. Their minds were way advanced than what ours is now. The most advanced, the most intelligent set of technology. The most advanced, go ahead.
I think the other part to that, too, is they were more in tune with the creation than we are. It's like the stuff we do now, our own mindset is contrary to what we created, too. So it makes it more difficult for us. But, I mean, I think if they were in tune and understood how everything worked, it would probably make sense that it was a lot simpler for them to do stuff that we probably capable of, but we ignorant of.
Exactly. Imagine having, I have to say it this way, y'all help me, what is the percentage of the brain that we use, about 20% or something like that, less than that? 10% of our brain capacity we use with the intelligence that we have. Imagine the people having 95. Imagine the people who not too far away from the Garden of Eden. Imagine the level of their mind, not polluted with toxins, not polluted with all this dumbing down, understanding the earth as it was created by Yah without having somebody who's trying to hide the information so that they can control the mass. Imagine not having that limitation. Imagine what we would be if all of us were born knowing that the earth was flat and was taught that and showed that. What kind of mind would we have if we had not been dumped down to all the information that's out there that these people who call themselves elite are hiding? What if we had all that information? Who would, it would be a whole lot less people not believe in Yah. I'll put it this way. Nobody during this time didn't believe in Yah. There was not one person who didn't believe in Yah during this time. They all knew he existed. What happened to that? Everybody on the planet knew the Most High was the creator of all things. That's why they was trying to get up there and take him out. Rolling on their mind. I don't know what they were going to do once they got up there in that firmament and start getting up in that water.
Maybe they had some kind of power that they
could have been.
I don't know. We strong enough, we going to do it. I mean, it's ignorant, but you never know.
Exactly. I think it's Hennessy, I'm not for sure. There is a Hennessy commercial. Where it shows, you see how it go up in space and then it hit the water? They know, they show us all the time, they laugh in our face.
Right after you just told us on that commercial came out.
Yeah, he goes up in the sky and get out in space, then all of a sudden he hit the water.
Yeah.
They know, y'all. they show up, and we turn around and still say, oh, no, that preacher's preaching conspiracy theory and all that. Well, why do they do crazy stuff like that? They laugh in our face all the time and show us the truth. Get something?
No, so, I mean, that merchant was a diver, but the way they show him hitting the water, he's hitting the water up.
Right.
Instead of hitting the water down.
Right.
I'm like, That's the subtle part.
Right. And the guy who they show going up in space is the original guy who went into space when there was no NASA. He's the one who's what is the guy's name? No, this guy actually did it. He's the series Star Trek. What's that bald head guy? What's his name? I can't think of his name. The bald head captain. Picard. Picard went into space for real.
But it ain't no space.
Here's what I mean. He went into space as far as the heavens and from all signs, Picard is the one who is the first one to see the firmament.
Oh,
that's what I mean.
Oh,
like when it's space. you know, space is, you know, when they come out of space. He's the first one to go into heaven. I better be incorrect. Y'all want to confuse y'all. They were confusing. No space, the heavens. He was the first one to go into heaven and see the firmament. Picard. That's why they named that guy in the Star Trek series, Picard. You do the research. That's why they named it that. Yeah, that's why they named it that. They said it. They said this guy. Matter of fact, that's why they show in that water and then going up in that firmament, because he was the first one to create a machine to get to the bottom of the ocean. He did both. He's the first to get to the bottom of the ocean.
And his son was.
So that's what I mean, the association. And so, in a nutshell, he was the first one to get into heaven. His son gets to the bottom of the ocean. He gets to the firmament. To the firmament in the sky, so that here's the commercial show them both. They playing with you. And so, when you look at this now, and verse 4 again, and they said, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name that we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Okay? They know that the earth is one mass. And I'm saying we don't want to be scattered on the whole thing. We want to stay and make us a city and a name for ourselves. They know it's one whole mass. Now, yes, okay, one more match. Verse 5 says, Yah came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. Verse 6, and Yah said, behold, the people is one. People is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Yah was like, boy, these don't can build this firmament. I mean, they can build this tower to reach this firmament. God said, can you imagine mankind standing on one accord with the advancement of their mind, building this tower to reach the firmament? Y'all was like, they're well able to do it because they're one people, one language, and they're all on one accord to do this. Okay? Now, verse 6, 7, he said, let us go down and confound their language, that they may not understand one another. That lets us know you have all the different languages in the world today. Okay? There are variations of the three that we're going to really look at. Then it's, verse 8 says, so, you have some?
No, but I see what
you're doing. Okay. Verse 8 says, so Jehovah scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. And they left off to build the city. Now, as you see here, Yah scatters them. How does he keep them scattered? Just as 10 lets us know. Okay? So Yah scatters them, He confounds their language. When he confounds their language, Genesis 10 reveals how they scattered. It reveals where, well, you can check history to reveal where they scattered, but it shows who scattered and where they scattered. Now, verse 8 says, and Jehovah scattered them abroad from thence and up on the face of the whole earth, and they left off to build the city. Verse 9, therefore the name called Babel. Babel means confusion, okay? That's why it says, because Jehovah did confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did Jehovah scatter abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now, when you go back to chapter 10 is showing you what Yah did after he scattered. When you look at Genesis 10 and you get to verse 25, verse 25 is telling you not only did he scatter them, but once he scattered them in different directions, all speaking the same language as nations, he split the land. He split the land. Now, when you look at it, it'll show you how he split the land. Genesis 10, which languages he even show. When you look at Genesis 10, verse, I'm going to start at verse 2. Instead of 1, I'm going to start at verse 2. Verse 2 says, the son of Japheth, you go to Genesis chapter 1, it's talking about Noah's son, Ham, Japheth, and Shem. Genesis 10, verse 2 says, the sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshach, and Tyrus, and the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Riphath, and Tecoma, the sons of Javan, Elisha, and Tarshish, and Kittim, and Dodanim. By these were the Gentiles divided, that it were divided again, divided in their land. Okay, in their land, everyone after his tongue, after their family, in their nation. All these people, the sons of Jacob, spoke the same language. So you look at chapter 1, when he split them, he split all of Japheth and his descendants to the same area, and they all spoke the same language. Shem, you can go see Ham. I'm not going to read all the names for the sake of the time. Let me see if I can find it. It may not give it as far as Ham and Shem, because it's saying it. I was going to see if it's going to give it as far as it did. As far as the languages, I can't. Where does it say that? I'm just going too fast, maybe. Verse 20 says, and these are the sons of Ham after their family, after their tongue, and in their country, and in their nation. He separates Japheth. In Genesis 11, when he confounds their language, Japheth and his descendants have one language. Ham and his descendants have one language. Shem and his descendants have one language. They all split to their area.
So that's what's
going to
happen during the thousand-year reign. Everybody's going to go back to their
lives. Go back to their lives. That's exactly what's going to happen. That's why everybody that you see that scattered, people are scattered all over the world, and when Yah sends his son, he's going to force everybody back to their lot. People are on landmass that's not there. That's why we will never get restitution here until it's time for us to get restitution, because Scripture said we will. We're going to leave out here with great substance to go back to our landmass. What Yah has done is what he has always intended to do. You have to understand, Yah said in the beginning, he said, replenish and multiply. He always intended for nations to have their own land mass. It's just that when they rebel and start to make themselves one people, Yah said, no, I intended for Japheth to be in Europe. I intended for Ham to be in regions of Africa. I intended for Shem to be in what's classified as the Middle East or Northeast Africa and Asia. You have some of Japheth that got some of Asia too. And so when you look at the original continent, when Yah separates them, he separates the three sons and the continent. That's why when you go look at those old maps, you have Africa, Asia, and in Europe. Three continents. You go look at those ancient maps of the world, it will show you Africa, Asia, and Europe. Because Ham is Africa, Shem is Asia, and Japheth is Europe. We know you have some of it in Africa, but I'm just showing you how those lots are lined up, how Yah lined up those lots in his original plan, and he's going to put everybody back in his lot when he comes. So you're going to have a whole lot of people leaving America, including Europeans, because this is not their lot. Nobody know who God is right now. You don't know who it is right there. This area may be called Asia when it's said and done, or you get some that'll try to stay in Europe, but I don't know at this point. You know, it's called European country, but I don't know at this point. I don't know what America's land mass was originally meant for. I don't know at this point. So when you see Yah dealing with nations, he separated each nation so that was three continents. That's why the old map, ancient map of the world showed those three continents, Africa, Europe, and Asia, to identify the three sons of Noah. Okay? Now, as we come to a close, you guys think of, you're ready to come to a close, I want to show you something now. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 says, verse 1, said, thus the heavens and the earth, dry ground, were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, Yah ended his work, which he had made. And he rested, Shabbat, Sabbath. That's what Sabbath means, rest. That's why we have service, and I encourage y'all to rest. I try not to do much of anything on that day. Sabbath is made for us. We're not made for the Sabbath. So there may be times we may have to do something. That's okay. There may be times you just have to do some things. But Yah's original intent for mankind is on the seventh day, even in the morning being the seventh day or the first day or a day, starting from the even, that's why we start at dusk. On Friday, we end dusk. On Thursday, it is Sabbath. It's the Sabbath, okay? It means rest. Yah is saying that's the time when my people rest. It is not just a law for the nation of Israel. It is a law for mankind. Everybody's supposed to rest on Shabbat, the Sabbath. Everybody. Okay, to show you the wickedness of man that say, I'm going to do it my way. We're not going to rest on the Sabbath because we are acting like the beast. You know, we're separated from Yah, so we don't want to obey him. The same as the Tower of Babel, we don't want to obey him, so we're not going to honor the Sabbath. We're going to turn it to Sunday. You rest on Sunday, not on Yah's day, because we don't follow Yah. So that said, I would say that people who follow Yah now have to line up with Yah's will for mankind. Genesis 2. He rested, Yah said, I did it on the seventh day, you do it on the seventh day. Try your best. Try your best to rest on the Sabbath. Rest from work. That's what I mean. Take it easy. I try to take it easy on the Sabbath. Okay? I don't do it all the time, but I try my best to take it easy on the Sabbath. I don't do it all the time because I know the Sabbath is not, I wasn't made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for me. It was made for us to be able to rest and to gather ourselves, to let the body heal, to get sleep in and do all those things. We went, you get in the Word on the Sabbath, and you see our nation. We went to the temple on the Sabbath. We got in the Scriptures on the Sabbath. That's why we do it, and we'll do it from now on. And so you look at verse 2 of Genesis 2, it lets us know what the Sabbath is. It means rest, okay? Yah rested, he Shabbat on the seventh. That's what lets you know that the rest is the seventh day from all his work. You can look at the, you know, any calendar, it'll show you the seventh day is Saturday. Sunday is the first day of the week. Okay? And rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And Yah blessed the seventh day. He blessed the Sabbath, the Sabbath. I'm saying Shabbat, but I'm saying in Hebrew. He blessed the Sabbath. Okay? He blessed the Shabbat day and sanctified it. Okay? And sanctified it. He set it aside because he had rested from all his work which Yah created and made. Yah said, I rested from all my work. I set that day aside for you to rest from all your work. That's why I try my best to get everything, all my work done on the, you know, before the Sabbath, okay? Now, verse 4, we're going to end at verse 5. These are the generations of the heavens and the whole earth, which they, the heavens and of the earth, when they were created. And in the day that Yah made the earth and the heavens, and Yah planted and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb, and of the field, I said verse 5, but I was immature. Verse 5, in every plant of the field before it was in the earth, in every herb, in every field before it grew, for Jehovah Yah had not called it to rain upon the earth. So it wasn't raining. You had the seed, you had the firmament above the sky. Okay, above the heaven. Then said, there was no man to till the ground. Okay, there was no man to till the ground. Soil. Okay, no man to till the ground. Then it said, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And verse 7, and Jehovah Yah formed the man of the dust of the ground. So we are made from earth, the ground, the soil. That's why everything that's in the soil, we have the same what mineral makeup. That's why we need certain things that's in the soil. And when you got all these chemtrails and all this and killing all that stuff in the soil, and then we wonder why we suffer. If it's killing the ground and making the herbs and stuff not grow from the ground, that's the reason why my yard is struggling. It wasn't just about putting down the wrong stuff, but you got a lot of stuff falling here, and there are animals and stuff that let me know that my yard is fertile ground. But it's struggling now because of all the stuff that's going on that has I said struggling, but not really. In other words, in my yard, all the natural things are popping up, and all the stuff that's not created by Yah is dying out. So you look at that from a vice versa point of view. Everything is lining up because everything Yah created, chemtrails can't destroy. Did y'all just say everything that Yah created, chemtrails cannot destroy? If it's man-made, it can't make it for chemtrails. Okay? That's why you got weeds growing in your yard like crazy. Because after seeds out this kind, Yah created that, it don't be chemtrails can't deal with that. But they're still struggling with the dry ground because of these chemtrails and stuff like that. So take what I said with a grain of salt. Now, verse 7 again said, and Jehovah Yah formed the man of the dust of the ground, and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
So when you look at ground, the word for ground is Adama. I think that's where Adam gets his name from.
That is where he gets his name from. That is where Adam get his name. So Adam basically means ground. In a nutshell, that's why he called, because he took man from the ground. That's why the first man is Adam. Okay. And we're getting ready to close. Here it is. Now, verse 8. When all around, they just do this. Verse 8 says, and Yehovah Yah planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. Now, notice. What you said that scientists called it?
Pangea.
Scientists called it Pangea. Y'all called it Eden. Remember, the earth is one land mass. There is a garden in Eden. Eden is not the garden. There is a garden that's in Eden. Y'all named what he created Eden. He put the garden in Eden. Now, when you start jumping chapters and get up to chapter 10, you see the foolishness of man, the foolishness of man, he's starting out with Adam. Adam is kicked out of the garden of Eden. It didn't say he was kicked out of the garden. It didn't say he was kicked out of Eden. Okay, as you continue to read, go ahead.
So I guess a comment based on that.
Go ahead.
Is that why all man travel from the east?
Yeah.
Because of this original place was eastward?
Yeah. When you look at... Yeah, dog, you just added 5 minutes. Okay, y'all bear with me. No, that's okay. That's okay because we got to get an understanding of this. Now, when you look at verse 8, it talks about the garden being in Eden. Eden is a place. Eden is not the garden. The garden is in Eden. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, and Jehovah Yah planted a garden eastward in Eden. Where did they travel from? The east. They were traveling eastward. And when you look at, they were traveling eastward from Genesis chapter 11. So you look at where man was traveling from. The scripture points out that the ark landed on Mount Ararat. Bible tells us that Mount Ararat is in Saudi Arabia. That is Saudi Arabia. East. All of them was east. So they were traveling eastward. They were traveling eastward, and when you look at how things were, that garden is located eastward, and so when you look at it and start dealing with the script, you have to understand it is all one landmass. And so when you have people that's going trying to find out where that garden is based upon the split landmass, they don't really know. Because it's one landmass at one time, so you can't go look at the river there and determine where Eden or the garden is, because it was all one landmass. Now, as you look at it here, verse 10 said, and a river went out of Eden. Isn't that a garden? There was a river went out of Eden to water the garden. Okay, to water the garden, and from this it parted and became four heads. The name of the first is Pison. You go look at these rivers; they're still names that's associated with these names even today. You're looking at Pison, which compassed the whole land of Havilah. Okay? I don't want to deal with these names in detail. We've dealt with them before, so I'm not spending a whole lot of time with it. Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of the land is good. There is bedevil and onyx stone. Onyx stone, and the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compassed the whole land of Ethiopia. Ethiopia ain't going nowhere, so it lets us know. It lets us know how this thing is happening now. The whole land of Ethiopia, the whole land of Ethiopia, the name of the third river is Hiddekel. This it is which goes toward the east of Assyria. Assyria is a descendant of Shem, and when you look at the makeup of things now, and the fourth river is the Euphrates. So you look at one landmass that's split by Yah. You look at the languages by which he split from a perspective of these three sons. You understand how he split it. And you understand that when you look at this whole landmass, Yah's called it East. Notice now, he describes Ethiopia. He described Ethiopia in verse 13. He described Ethiopia in verse 13. But when you look at Eden as a whole, Eden as a whole is identifying specific locations and things like that. There are some maps that show the whole land mass as being Ethiopia. There are some names that show it as being Mesopotamia and things like that. They'll try to give it one name and different things like that. They don't want to associate that with Eden. Because if they associate it with being Eden, they're going to have to acknowledge Yah. So I just say it this way for just a way to kind of grip this thing. Ethiopia was in Eden. You look at all these different names. Havilah, the land of Havilah is in Eden. You know, all these different areas are land masses that deal with the overall name of which Yah dealt with where he planted the garden, Eden. So that's why you see, when you get over there now, you see that land being furrowed, all these different animals, all that stuff over in that region. Why is that all the creation animals pretty much is still in that same location? Because it's Eden. Now, we don't know where that garden is. But this time you get back around over in this region where you got Africa, where you got Ethiopia, you got all these Assyria area, all these different areas you're dealing with Eden. And so that's what I want to point out. The whole garden is not called Eden. The garden is in a place, in a landmass called Eden. And before I call it anything else, I'll stick with the Bible in saying this landmass, before it was split, was Eden. And there was everything in there. The land of Ethiopia was in Eden. The land of Havilah was in Eden. All these other, Shinar was in Eden. Mount Ararat was in Eden. They were traveling eastward in Genesis chapter 11. So all these things showing the perspective of what Yah had looked at his creation and the name that he gave it, and he put the garden there and had everything in it to sustain man. Man always was supposed to have access to the garden that was in Eden. But when he said, he was kicked out of the door.
You know what also makes sense? Because I've never thought about when he said the animals. All the animals are over in that part of the country. And I'm like, nowhere else is there a multitude of animals like that. But that...
To know that it's all the same landmass originally, even when you look at what the scripture talks about, the nation of Israel, the land of Israel, there were lions in that land. David fought lions. See, David killed a lion before he killed the lion. He said, I killed a lion, I think, and a bear. Lions were in the land of Israel. So it's all Eden. But they try to separate it all and make you think Israel is the Middle East. All that's East. All that's East. And so when you look at the scripture and start to pull it out, when man rebelled against Yah, you see those continents. Now it may be seven. I don't know, but man lied so much now. We know for sure based upon the scriptures, three.
The continent that they made up.
Right. And so I mean, so from that perspective, they made up and altogether continent, you know, it may be a couple, three more that's made up too, you know. You just never know. That actually do exist as a land, man.
Right.
It's just that they're trying to confuse us and say, well, that's that. Well, according to the Bible, we know that's three. It's where he divided those sons. He divided it. When he divided, he split the land, man.
Is that what these three names are? Ethiopia, Havilah, and I think the other one is Syria.
It could be. It could be based upon the scripture. All of them was eaten. When it split, it could be. I don't know. It is ironic that he names those, the whole land of Havilah and the whole land of Ethiopia. And what was the other one?
Assyria.
The whole land of Assyria. Notice Assyria is Shem. Ethiopia is Ham. Okay, Ethiopia is Ham. I don't know who the Havilah is.
Could be. That's what
made me
think about it, but I ain't saying.
That's just about
what they
I do too.
Only three.
I do too. And so I just wanted to show you that from the perspective of the scripture to understand how the continents got divided. Yah got his hand on everything. Scientists is telling their lie, and Yah said, I put it in scripture before it even got to scientists for you to know how it all went down. All right, all went down. All right. Any other questions or comments? I'm through. Okay. All right. Father Yah, we bless your name on tonight as you have revealed to us some perspectives concerning your creation to give us an understanding of how you design things to be. And we just bless you for it. We thank you for just dealing with us and guiding our minds so that we can see truth. And we glorify you in the name of your whole show. We do pray. Amen. Y'all remember worship God in spirit and in truth. You're dismissed.